Blog Talk Radio.
Science Temple of America home office, presenting you with another presentation of Moorish Missionaries Online, where we are blessed by the best and you make us better. Islam, this is being done in honor of our Moorish Annual National Convention, which is held between October the 15th and 20th of annually every year. and has been the case since October 15th and 20th of 1928, which was hosted by our prophet, Mubarak Ali. So in the spirit of that, we got a lot of information jam-packed, ready for you Moors. So bear with me. I have a pretty special hookup with the host. I'm hosting through my phone, so bear with me if the call drops, family. Islam, we're going to go into a reading of the laws, and then we're going to have a reading of Circuit 7 Koran, which is customary, and then we're going to get into some reading demonstrating the history of the temple. And there's some questions that's been going around out of, with regards to who is the Supreme Grand Council. We're going to get into that because the readings specifically deal with some of those things. And then we're going to have a reading of an affidavit that was made public by this administration, that being document number 11551822. That's going to be an interesting read for the family. And then we're going to go through two affidavits that were filed at the Cook County Recorder of Deeds, one under the administration of Eugene Jane Moore, and then the next under the administration of Karen Yarbrough. And then we're going to see the compare and contrast between those two, and we're going to discuss that. And we also have transcripts from the Right to Travel battles. This is a 19-page of transcripts that's going to be read. So we're going to try to get through all this, family. We have less than an hour and a half to cover this all. So without further ado, let's get to it. Islam, Salvation, Allah, Unity, the Moore Science Temple of America, the Divine Constitution and Bylaw. Act 1. Grand Sheikh and the Chairman of the Moore Science Temple of America is empowered to make law and enforce laws with the assistance of the Prophet and the Grand Body of the Moore Science Temple of America. The Assistant Grand Sheikh is to assist the Grand Sheikh in all affairs if he lives according to love, truth, peace, freedom, and justice, and it is known before the members of the Moore Science Temple of America. Act 2. All meetings are to be open and closed promptly according to Circle 7 in love, truth, peace, freedom, and justice. Friday is our holy day of rest because on a Friday the first man was formed in flesh, and on a Friday the first man departed out of flesh and ascended into his Father God, Allah. For that cause, Friday is the holy day for all Muslims all over the world. Act 3. Love, truth, peace, freedom, and justice must be proclaimed and practiced by all members of the Moore Science Temple of America. No member is to put in danger or accuse falsely his brother or sister on any occasion at all that may harm his brother or sister because Allah is love. Act 4. All members must preserve these holy and divine laws, and all members must obey the laws of the government because by being a Moorish American, you are a part and partial of the government and must live a life accordingly. Act 5. This organization of the Moore Science Temple of America is not to cause any confusion or to overthrow the laws and constitution of the said government, but to obey hereby. Act 6. With us, all members must proclaim their nationality, and we are teaching our people their nationality and their divine creed that they may know that they are a part and partial of this said government and know that they are not Negroes, colored folks, black people, or Ethiopians, because these names were given to slaves by slaveholders in 1779 and last until 1865 during the time of slavery. But this is a new era of time now, and all men now must proclaim their free national name to be recognized by the government in which they live and the nations of the earth. This is the reason why Allah, the great God of the universe, ordained Mubarak Ali, the prophet, to redeem his people from their sinful ways. The Moorish Americans are the descendants of the ancient Moabites whom inhabited the northwest and the southwestern shores of Africa. Act 7. All members must promptly attend their meetings and become a part and a partial of all uplifting acts of the Moor Science Temple of America. Members must pay their dues, keep in line with all necessities of the Moor Science Temple of America. Then you are entitled to the name of faithful. Husband, you must support your wife and children. Wife, you must obey your husband and take care of your children and look after the duties of your household. Sons and daughters must obey father and mother, be industrious, and become a part of the uplifting of fallen humanity. All Moorish Americans must keep their hearts and minds pure with love and their bodies clean with water. This divine covenant is from your holy prophet, Juali, Noble Juali, through the guidance of his father, God Allah. Moorish American prayer. Allah, the father of the universe, the father of love, truth, peace, freedom, and justice. Allah is my protector, my guide, and my salvation, by night and by day, through his holy prophet, Juali, Amin. Islam, family. So now we're going to get into the reading of the Circle 7 Koran, which is customary. The Holy Koran of the Moorish Science Temple of America, Circle 7, divinely prepared by the noble prophet, Juali, by the guidance of his father God, Allah, the great God of the universe, to redeem man from his sinful and fallen stage of humanity back to the highest plane of life with his father God, Allah. And that will be from the divine instructions from the Holy Prophet, chapter 45, the divine origin of the Asiatic nation. The fallen sons and daughters of the Asiatic nation of North America need to learn to love instead of hate and to know of their higher and lower self. This is the uniting of the Holy Quran of Mecca for teaching and instructing all Moorish Americans, etc. The key of civilization was and is in the hand of the Asiatic nations. The Moors, who were the ancient Moabites and the founders of the holy city of Mecca. The Egyptians, who were the Hamites and of a direct descendant of Mizraim. The Arabians, the seed of Hagar, Japanese and Chinese. The Hindus of India, the descendants of the ancient Canaanites, Hittites, and Moabites from the land of Canaan, the Asiatic nations and countries in North, South, Central America, the Moorish Americans and Mexicans in North America, Brazilians, Argentinians, and Chileans in South America, Colombians, Nicaraguans, and the natives of San Salvador in Central America, etc. All of these are Muslims. The Turks are the true descendants of Hagar, who are the chief protectors of the Islamic creed of Mecca, beginning from Muhammad I, the founding of the United of Islam, by the command of the great universal God, Allah, Islam. I want to point something out that we just read there, and a lot of times when we study, we have to pick up what we're reading. So I want to go back to verse 2, where it says, the key of civilization was and is in the hand of the Asiatic nations, the Moorish, who were the ancient Moabites and the founders of the holy city of Mecca. So that means that everything, all the traditions that set up around the holy city of Mecca, that was what we found as far as being Moorish American. So it's key to understand that custom is no proof of truth. And even though there are certain customs in place in the holy city of Mecca today, it doesn't necessarily mean that those customs were there when the city was founded. Islam. So, again, we got a whole lot to cover, and what I want to do now is I want to read some of the history of the conventions that were held so that we can get a flavor of how the prophet was demonstrating in the manifest. Islam. Prophet Noble Juali, founder and leader of the Moorish Science Temple of America, left Saturday to visit the members of 17 different subordinate Moorish Science Temples, which are organized in 15 different states. He is accompanied by Richard Ross Bay, editor of the Moorish Guide, a biweekly publication of the organization. Up to date, Detroit, Newark, and Philadelphia have been visited. During this tour, special emphasis is being put out on the importance of strict observance by the members and officers of the Constitution and bylaws recommended by the Prophet and unanimously adopted during the first annual convention of the Moors at Chicago in October 1928. The message of the prophet published in the Moorish Guide issue of November 10th has created very favorable comments. It was directed to the nations as well as the Moors of the United States. Two prominent visitors from an eastern country called at the prophet's private study, 3140 Indiana Avenue, to personally compliment him on the article. According to information from Ms. Pearl Juali, National Secretary, Treasurer for the Moorish Organization, members are responding encouragingly to the per capita tax system adopted at the convention. It is believed that in conjunction with his other plans, upon his return to Chicago, Prophet Ali in all probability will interview Governor Lynn Small of the state of Illinois. Islam, Moorish head makes plans for conclave. Beginning October 15th and continuing through the entire week, the Moorish Science Temple of America, of which Mr. Juali is the founder and president, will hold its first general conference at Unity Hall, 3140 Indiana Avenue, Chicago, Illinois. President Ali began definite plans to this end upon his recent return from Pine Bluff, Arkansas, where he spent several days lecturing at the local Moorish Temple. This organization is playing a useful and definite part in advancing the sacred obligations of American citizenship. Indications are that this convention will be one of the most interesting ever held in the city. It will be featured by delegates attending in pilgrimages from 15 different states where local temples have been established. There will be an interesting parade in which men and women members will wear regalia similar to that worn in Eastern countries. A camel will be used. During the specific session, specific reports of the general work and civic accomplishments of local accomplishments will be made. Reports also of the business enterprises that have been established in connection with these temples, such as two grocery and a market stores in Detroit, a laundry in Pittsburgh, and moving and express business and grocery in Chicago. These examples of collective efforts show that the members of the Moorish Science Temple and their leaders have a sound economic program and are blazing the trail and marking the pathway over which our posterity may travel, unhampered and unafraid. Kept in mind that no great movement can take definite shape in 2 or 3 years so as to be error-proof, said President Ali. However, through accumulating experience, each annual convention ought to witness a more perfect and wider functioning organization representing the organized experience of men and women members throughout the country and possibly in time the world over. In continuing, President Ali said, constructive criticism from sympathetic friends in and outside of our ranks is welcome. Post session of Moorish Science Body. Many delegates from Temple attend. The annual convention of the Moorish Science Temple of America opened October 14th at UNT Hall, 3140 Indiana Avenue. Prophet Noble Drew Ali, founder and head of the body, will preside over the sessions, which close Saturday evening. More than 1,000 delegates from the 15 temples in America were reported present during the meetings. Following the registrations at headquarters Monday, reports were read from the two grand governors, Key Crumbly Bay, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and Lomax Bay of Detroit, Michigan. Tuesday evening, the welcome address was delivered by Alderman Louis B. Anderson. Other speakers were Oscar the Priest, third ward committeeman, Dr. Roman of Maharshi Medical College, Nashville, Tennessee, Attorney George W. Blackwell, and Aaron Payne. Richard Ross was master of ceremonies, and Claude D. Green, managing editor of the Moorish Guide, is chairman of the arrangement committee, which has worked hard to get everything in splendid order. For the reception of visitors, Wednesday, a parade was held, teaching Torah in Islam. The Moorish Science Temple was founded by Prophet Drew Ali in Newark, New Jersey in 1913. The tenets of the belief of his followers are that their forefathers were Asiatics, brought to America along with other persons of dark skin. They bar the name Negro, African, or any allusion to color. They follow the teachings of the Koran, and movement towards free thinking is a positive, powerful step towards the solution of racial problems. They teach strict cooperation and reciprocity towards each other. The Chicago Temple was organized in 1925 and has a membership of more than 3,000. The many-hued turbans of the women and children and the red fez and sashes worn by the men attract much attention. Saturday, a public recognition will be given in honor of the prophet and the visitors. Moorish delegates and visitors will welcome wholesome meals in the UNT Hall grill rooms by the members of the Chicago Temple. Sister Pearl Drew Ali, the distinguished wife of the prophet, wore the costume of a native Moroccan princess. Other very beautiful Moroccan costumes were worn by Sister Lomax Bay, the wife of the Grand Governor of Detroit, Sister Whitehead Hill, Chicago, Sister House of Bay, Chicago, Sister Cliff Bay, Indiana, Sister Watts Bay, and others. Prophet Noble Drew Ali wore a native Moroccan princess costume. Grand Governor Lomax Bay and Grand Governor Crumbly Bay wore native Moroccan sheikh costumes. Because of certain incidents in some of the branch temples previous to the convention, far-reaching changes for betterment of the administrative affairs of the organization will be announced at the convention by the Prophet Noble Drew Ali and enforced by the Supreme Grand Council in future to the laws to make changes. It is reported that the Prophet, the supreme executive authority, will appoint a Supreme Grand Council, of which he will be the Supreme Grand Chairman. The Supreme Grand Council will have power and duty to control and supervise all the affairs and properties of the Moorish Science Temple of America, and they will be the sole judge of what constitutes conduct injurious to the order, peace, interest, or welfare of the organization, or at variance with its constitution and bylaws. Also, the rules and regulations made by the project, and shall be the sole judge of the sufficiency of the evidence by which such conduct is shown. Prophet Nuruddin Ali is being congratulated, Tigerans, on the success of the Moors' first annual convention and for his splendid work to promoting the cause of humanity. To all governors, grand sheikhs, and heads, officials of temples, by order of Prophet Nuruddin Ali, has said the following thing during this, our very first convention. Prophet Nuruddin Ali said that the Moorish Science Temple of America was organized to play a useful and divine part in the advancement of the sacred obligation of American citizenship. As the Divine National Movement was founded for the uniting of the Asiatic states of North America on May the 1st, 1916, as this will have been our very first convention and most interesting one ever held in this city. It was featured by delegates from 15 different states, from local branch temples and subordinate temples, which have been established for the uplifting of fallen humanity. During this, our first convention and sessions specific of general work and civil accomplishments were recorded by the grand sheikhs of each branch temple and subordinate temple. As each grand sheikh was required to give a reporting of his temple and the governor and in the continued growth and development of this divine movement, grand sheikh gave their report about the growth of business and enterprises of the example of collective efforts show that the members of the Moorish Science Temple of America and their leaders have enacted a sound economic program and are blazing a trail and marking a pathway over which our posterity can travel unhampered and unafraid. Prophet Nuruddin Ali stated that it must also be kept in mind that no great movement can take definite shape in 2 or 3 years so as to be error-proof. Prophet Nuruddin Ali further stated, however, through accumulating experience, each annual convention ought to bear witness a more perfect and wider functioning organization, representing the organized experience of men and women throughout the country and possibly in time the world over. And continuing, the Prophet Nuruddin Ali said, constructive criticism from sympathetic friends in and outside of our ranks is welcome. Islam. During this convention period, the Prophet Nuruddin Ali said on the 17th of October that he was going to appoint 7 men tried and true and accepted by you. And on the very next day, Nuruddin Ali stepped forward from the chamber room and declared that he now had his number and said that the grand body had accepted his choice in the setting of the Supreme Grand Council of the Moorish Science Temple of America. And Prophet Nuruddin Ali also declared what their duties in conjunction with that of the grand body, which consists of all executive rulers. Prophet Nuruddin Ali said that both are to work hand in hand with each other, and those who will act as in a Supreme Council duties were to continue on with each other. And those who act in as a Supreme Council duties were to continue on with the day-to-day functions of this divine movement, while the grand body was to intercede that the Prophet Nuruddin Ali was the law and at the head of this divine movement. Now the Prophet Nuruddin Ali announces that the following Adab Chamber members would be seated on the Supreme Grand Council. Prophet Nuruddin Ali, Supreme Head and Supreme Chairman. Number one. Number two, Brother Edward Mealy Hill, Supreme Grand Sheikh and Grand Governor of Temple Number 1. Number 3, Brother James Lomax Spay, Supreme Grand Governor and Grand Governor, Temple Number 4. 4, Brother Richard Ross Bay, Temple Number 1. 5, Brother C. Green Bay, Supreme Business Manager, Temple Number 1. 6, Brother Blackwell Bay, Temple Number 1. 7, Sister Pearl Ali, Supreme Grand Secretary, Temple Number 1. Then Prophet Nuruddin Ali said, follow me and you will be happy. The Prophet also announced that a per capita tax had been voted in by the Grand Body and concurred with by the Supreme Grand Council. During this session, during the second sitting of the Supreme Grand Council, Islam. So this is to give you the history of the organization and how the Prophet had things set up in order. And the fact that we had the Supreme Grand Council and we had the Grand Body, and the fact that they worked together hand in hand. So this was all set up as a network where the Moors were working together. And somehow something occurred, something changed. And we have a document that speaks towards that. And we're going to unveil this document. First of all, I want to give a brief narrative of how we got the document. We, myself, along with Sheikhus, had went and did some research, found out that the document was filed down at Cook County Recorder of Deeds office, and the document was pretty well hidden because the numbers that were written down in the track book and down in the basement were not able to be made out. So we couldn't make out Islam family. Okay, I'm back. The call dropped. So we're going to get into this document that we did research on. Myself and Sheikhus, Deanna Love Hill, co-hostess. This is Moorish Missionaries Online, presented to you by the Moorish Science Temple of America home office, where we are blessed by the best and you make us better. So at any rate, this is document number 11551822. And this document was filed back in on January the 8th, 1935. So this was pretty recent to the events of the first annual convention of the Moorish Science Temple of America. And this document was unveiled by diligent research at the Cook County Recorder of Deeds office. So in researching the original document, 1010-5905, we found that on the next page there was a document that which number could not be made out. So to solve the problem, we just had them to order every document on the page so that we were able to get it that way. And then we were able to distinguish what the numbers actually were. And it appears that someone meant to write the numbers where you couldn't make it out. So at any rate, Islam, we're going to go into that document. This is titled Resolution and Affidavit, Restoring the Moorish Science Temple of America, of which Noble Drew Ali was founder, back to its rules and usages. State of Illinois, County of Cook, sworn statement. Jesse Shelby Eel, who after first being duly sworn according to law, deposes and says that immediately after the passing away of the prophet, Noble Drew Ali, founder of the Moorish Science Temple of America, a religious corporation, organized at a meeting held in the city of Chicago in the county of Cook in the state of Illinois on the 20th day of July, A.D. 1928, according to the rules and usages of such Moorish Science Temple of America, deriving its power and authority from the great Quran of Muhammad to propagate the faith and extend the learning of the great prophet of Ali in America, to appoint and consecrate missionaries of the prophet and to establish the faith of Muhammad in America. Emilio, Jackson Bay, Lovett Bay, McAldrick, and Foreman Bay, C. Kirkman Bay, and others acting with them wandered away from the rules and usages of such Moorish Science Temple of America, a religious corporation, and commenced to teach military training and other innovations, established insurance where stock was sold, added the Supreme Grand Governor, Grand Treasurer, Grand Recording Secretary, and other offices, ceased to hold monthly meetings of the Adept Chamber, where an accounting of the money taken in from the various taxes, sales of the corporation's stock of supplies were made, changed the date of the holding the yearly national convention from the 15th to the 20th days of October in each calendar year, to from the 15th to the 20th day of September in each calendar year. Affiant further deposes and says that he, N. Gorey Bay, C. Hybo Bay, and W. Cobb Bay, being dissatisfied to succeed and wander away from said rules and usages of said Moorish Science Temple of America and follow those who were teaching innovations, etc., and wanting to adhere to the discipline conform to the doctrines and mode of worship and obey its canons and submit to the authority of such Moorish Science Temple of America, a religious corporation as authorized by its religious affidavit of organization, known as Instrument Number 1010-5905, recorded in Book 521, page 579, on the first day of August, 1928, and a meeting held on the 21st day of August, 1934, by Syed Afian and others, proceeded to and did restore Syed Religious Corporation back to its original customs and usages, reestablished Syed Religious Corporation, which has been split into several different and distinct branches of Syed Religious Corporation, reestablished Grand Temple Number 1 of Syed Religious Corporation when the following officers were appointed and are now acting as follows: J. Shelby Ill, Governor; N. Gory Bay, Grand Sheikh; C. Haibo Bay, Assistant Grand Sheikh; and C. Cobb Bay, Chairman, which is all the officers of which this religious corporation are allowed to have, and the said officers are the only officers who, by the rules and usages and customs of said religious corporation, are allowed to govern and transact business for said religious corporation. Afian and Jesse Shelby Hill, subscribed and sworn to before me on the 8th day of January, A.D. 1935. Andrew Jackson, Notary Public. So there you have it. There, what we're hearing now is, along those people that were listed was Emiliel. He was the first person that was listed after the prophet. So it's pretty interesting that his name would be listed amongst those people. And then we, as we understand it, there were certain innovations that were made by some of these individuals. So, and this has remained consistent, and maybe this is part of why we have so many problems and misunderstandings. As well, family. So, we want to discuss that. So, let's go into this. Let's pick, we're not just going to just go past and read this. We want to get into this. The first thing that we see is that there were innovations, and they commenced to teaching military training and other innovation. So we see things like the Nation of Islam and, you know, the drill team, the marching soldiers. We saw that some of the members had carry on in that vein, okay? And that's where we see some of those innovations. And it even said in other innovations, which would include changing the teachings and the doctrine. But one of the things I really want to point out is established insurance where stock was sold. So you had stock in the temple and insurance. And all, you had a whole lot of things going on that you may not necessarily see at your temple, you know, your regular temple, your average temple. Then it says it added the offices. I'm not getting to that because you do have customs, and temples are now allowed to make customs. But here's the one that really got me. It says, cease to hold monthly meetings of the adept chamber where an accounting of the money taken in from various taxes made. So all this is what we are seeing is there was a concerted effort to disorganize what had been set up and organized. We're hearing about thousands of members being in within a temple here in Chicago. Okay, and thousands showing up for the convention. So it's pretty interesting that now the adept meetings cease to be held. And this is where you give an accounting, and we're talking about various taxes. So one of those taxes includes the per capita tax, which is the headcount tax. So this is part of what removed the order of being able to account for our own people. And here, this we're talking about things that went on in the 1930s. So we have to have a proper understanding of how things unraveled to be able to bring them back together. So the Supreme Grand Council, that is an issue, and also the Grand Body is an issue. All of those things line up. And what we're seeing is that, according to this document, there were concerted efforts to break those things up. So now you don't have an accounting of the money that's taken in from the various taxes. So there was a purpose for all these delegates showing up. They wasn't just showing up to be pretty in their fez and sachet and their sashes. There was business going on and being conducted at each and every stage and point. So we're seeing that internally there were things done to do away with these traditions. And even though it's not looked at as being a big deal, the changing of the yearly national convention from the 15th to the 20th days of October in each calendar year to the 15th and 20th days of September each calendar year, that definitely has an effect. And that's part of the reason why that's listed in the document. So it's pretty interesting that that's going on. And the Islam family, I'm hosting blind. I was trying to do it. I had it set up through the phone at first. So forgive me for that. Call us. The number to call in is, give me one sec. They call to you, people, family. Just here we go. Let's call. In number is 602-753-1841. That is the call-in number. Please bear with me. Hold your questions until the next call, where we will be able to address the questions. If you have any questions about some of the material that we're going over, Islam. So now what I want to do now is I want to get into discussing some things about Cook County. Okay, we're going to get into Cook County Recorded Deeds. In fact, we had discovered this document that had been well hidden at Cook County Recorded Deeds, the document that we just read. And that document was sent over to temples in LA, well, a temple in LA, I believe Brother Elaine Gill was the Grand Sheik then, and the temple in Atlanta, Brother David Page Bay Sheik. These Sheik out there in Atlanta, they would be able to testify and bear witness to the fact that this administration did send these documents out before the year 2000 to let the temples know that we had did our research, and it was some pretty groundbreaking stuff even back then and still is to this day. So these documents speak towards the internal issues that we've had within the Morris Science Temple of America before most of us were born, you know, even though we have inherited, many of us, traditions from many of the people that were named on the document. But the authors of the affidavit, 1155-1822, specifically laid out the fact that these people wandered away. So that is a severe indictment on these individuals that were listed. And one of the chief people were was the first Clayton Grand Sheik, Emile Yeo. So I think that's pretty interesting to note with regards to how things were moving back then. So we want to address some issues as far as how we have been, moving this administration. And I want to read this first document that was filed at the Cook County Recorder Deeds. And this is in regards to this is document number 06165334111. And here it goes. Salvation, Allah, Unity. Morris Executive Ruler's Affidavit of Justice, writ in the nature of discovery. Authorities and laws cited. Document 1010-5905, Religious Authority. The United States Constitution. The Illinois State Constitution. The Religious Corporation Act, the Divine Constitution and Bylaws of the Morris Science Temple of America, the Circle 7 Holy Koran of the Morris Science Temple of America, Ecclesiastical Islamic Law, Law of Islamism. Okay, this is a sworn statement, State of Illinois, County of Cook. Be it resolved that all true sheikhs, powers, and duties similar to trustees have a divine mandate from Allah, the great God of the universe, to enforce the law in order to save the nation. Therefore, the Cook County Recorder's Office is hereby put on notice that your office has been charged with, but not limited to, fraud, forgery, etc., in accordance to, with due process of law, Fourth Amendment of the United States Constitution. This affidavit will allow the Cook County, the county has took 20 consecutive days from the filing date of this affidavit to answer the questions contained within this document. Failure to certifiably answer every number point with accuracy and clarity will constitute failure by default on the part of Cook County entirely. Lionel Love, you'll seek to no less than $500,000 pre-settlement fine, disbursement from indemnity fund 765, Illinois Compiled Statute 35/101, 40/9 from Chapter 30, Paragraph 138, 1209, respectively. Answers to the questions presented below will allow members of the Morris Science Temple of America to benefit from the trust-like qualities of this especially religious corporation. Number one, why is it that no official record of document 1010-5905, book 521, page 579, being mailed back to the affiant to Ali is on file? Two, please provide a detailed analysis of the Torrens registration system as in practice from start to finish during 1928. Was it standard procedure to mail all documents back to Fowler's? If so, then why was no exception made for document number 1010-5905? Four, who was is responsible for the malicious gross negligence displayed in the initial recordation of document 11551822? Filed on January 8, 1935. Five, why has the Cook County Recorder of Deeds office deliberately filed the incorrect number for document 11551822, which is connected to the Morris Science Temple of America, a religious corporation for more than 70 years? Six, why would the Recorder's office continue to display the incorrect document number even after verbal notice from members of the Morris Science Temple of America? Seven, why would the Recorder's office later engage in forgery and fraud in an attempt to legally to create legal chaos via two different document numbers for one document on a track page, however, neither numbers trace back to document number 11551822, yet both pages' different numbers have been certified by the Recorder's office under the Freedom of Information Act? Eight, since when have employees of the Recorder of Deeds office become experts of ancient documents related to land or trust? Nine, if the Morris Science Temple of America, a religious corporation, document 1010-5905 is not related to land, as various employees of the Recorder's office claim, then why will we charge the RHSP fee $10 upon filing of document 05270100063? Which, by the way, is strictly reserved for all documents related to land. Please be advised, failure to answer these questions will result in full-blown federal lawsuit commenced by the Morris Science Temple of America Religious Corporation. The affiant awaits the answers, which must be recorded within the recorder's office at the public's expense, as it is for the public's benefit, for public records, certified and signed by Mr. Eugene J. Moore in his official capacity or another qualified representative of the County of Cook, and mailed back to the following address: Morris Science Temple of America, P.O. Box 439133, Chicago, Illinois, Postal Zone 439133. This was notarized on the second day of June 2006 by myself, by Wanda James, and executed by myself, Islam. So the response, now this is under the administration of Eugene J. Moore. There was actually a response to these questions. Okay, so the first one, I'm going to just go back and read the questions and read the responses to the question. Okay, the first question is, why is there no official record of document 1010-5905 being mailed back to affiant through Ali is on file? Why is that on file? Number one, answer is no knowledge. Two, please provide a detailed analysis of Torrens registration system as in practice from start to finish during 1928. The answer is, number two, refer to the Torrens Act 30, Illinois Revised Statute C-44. If so, why was there no exception made for document 1010-5905? Three, no knowledge. Okay, now, the next five, they basically answered the same thing. Demand strict proof thereof, no knowledge. Okay, and I'm just going to go through a quick run through. Who was responsible for the malicious gross negligence displayed in initial recordation of the document 11551822? And, of course, all the succeeding questions are pertaining to specifically that, except with the exception for the last question, which says, again, since When have employees of the recorded deeds office become experts in ancient documents related to land or trust? All right. So the last question was answered. Return receipt of RHSP to the legal department for possible reimbursement. So they were saying they would return that money that they had taken for the filing of the document. So Mr. Eugene James Moore's affidavit, when we issued the affidavit to him, he responded, okay? And this was done by Paula Lingo, the chief legal advisor of the Cook County Recorder of Deeds. And this was actually executed on July 26, 2006. So they were well behind the time, okay, and it wasn't necessarily filed. So the next thing that occurs now is we have this next affidavit that was filed. And this was filed under the administration of Karen Yarbrough. And the difference between this and the other affidavit is that Mr. Eugene James Moore's administration answered the affidavit. Ms. Karen Yarbrough's administration did not answer this affidavit. This affidavit was filed on the 16th of March in this year, 2015. And so let me go ahead and run through this real quick, which means, by the way, again, there's been no answer issued for this affidavit. All right, this is an affidavit of Fact Rule 201D, Mandatory Judicial Notice of Performance of a Trust Instrument, Document Number 1010-5905, and Sealed Trust Instrument titled the Holy Kovas Circle 7 of the Morris Science Temple of America, which is a lawfully chartered corporate body politic incorporated into the state of Illinois via the Religious Corporation Act, laws of 1871-72. And this document was not notarized, by the way, but it was sealed and executed. Comes now, Shigalaville, your affiant, testified, and being over the age of 21 years of age, after being duly sworn according to the law to tell the truth to the facts related herein, states that he has first-hand knowledge of the facts stated herein and believes these facts to be true to the best of his knowledge. All right. On February 22nd, 1999, your affiant placed on file document 99174173, an amendment to trust document 115905, book 521, page 579, August 1st, 1928 at 2:52 p.m. Torrens registration. Two, your affiant, upon discovery of the other part to the document 101059905, which consists of the sealed instrument titled the Holy Koran Circle 7 of the Modern Science Temple of America, the Divine Instructions from the Holy Prophet, the End of Time, the Fulfilling of the Prophecies, verse 4. And I quote, the Morris Science Temple of America is a lawfully chartered and incorporated organization. Any sporting temple that desires to receive a charter, the prophet has the United States, et cetera. Three, your affiant filed document number 14078290100 to serve notice to all who is the undisputed successor to the trust of the Holy Prophet, Nabuz Rali, being first in line, first in time, as the record shows. Four, your affiant recognizes that document number 101059905 is, among other things, a certificate of title to the vast estate put in trust, which is evidenced by the other part, which can be found within our sealed title deed, the Holy Koran of the Morris Science Temple of America, chapter 47, verse 7, containing the meets and bounds description, which states, and I quote, their dominion and inhabitation extended from North, East, and Southwest Africa across the Great Atlantis, even into the present North, South and Central America, and also Mexico and the Atlantis Islands before the Great Earthquake, which caused the Great Atlantic Ocean, end quote, placing the valuation as consisting of the whole of every parcel of land within the whole county of Cook, inclusive of all unincorporated areas and real estate by the exercise of our prescriptive right of possession. Five, your affiant recognizes that the Cook County Recorder's Office is home of the charter still issued by the prophet, Please refer to the Holy Quran of the Moorish Science Temple of America, the End of Times Fulfilling of the Prophecies, verse 4, which states, the Moorish Science Temple of America is a lawfully chartered and incorporated organization. Any subordinate temple that desires to receive a charter, the prophet has them to issue to every state throughout the United States, etc., and that there is a custodial trust relationship that said office has to the temple receiving funds on behalf of the temple under the provisions of home rule. 6, your affiant recognizes that all funds collected on behalf of the Moorish Science Temple of America would be held in trust and protected until which time the heirs assign successors to the trust found the prophet, being at an age of majority and being of lawfully sound mind as proclaimed free nationals. The Moorish Americans, descendants of Moroccans and born in America, could lawfully provide proof of authorization to transact business on behalf of the Moorish Science Temple of America as a private religious corporate body politic trust, producing a lawful succession to the founder, Prophet Drew Ali. 7, your affiant, having been authorized to enforce the law in order to save the nation, has recognized his lawful and divine duty to aid the Prophet in saving the nation by assessing the finance held in trust being earmarked to save the nation and any attempt by any public official bound by their oath of office to uphold, support, and defend the Constitution for the United States of America, State of Illinois Constitution of 1818, to infringe, impede, or not recognize said authorization constitutes fraud, among other things, and justice must catch you. Otherwise, rebut this affidavit point for point in time, in a time of 7 business days, because silence or non-response denotes full agreement to the contract, which will be enforced to the fullest extent of the law. At further after saying not. Light and love, your Sheikh, and not personally Islam family. This is another broadcast of the Moorish Science Temple of America home office. Moorish presenting to you, Moorish Missionaries Online, where we are blessed by the best and you make us better. I apologize for the fact that I'm not able to add any callers. I got this Reiki thing set up. I'm hosting blind at this moment, so I am not able to include any callers into the show. However, tomorrow evening won't be the case. We will have, you know, access to the switch for it. So it's wrong. We just had to finish having a reading of an affidavit that was put on file under the administration of Karen Yarbrough, and no answer has been issued for this affidavit, even though the affidavit that we just read, it did indeed have an answer from Mr. Eugene Dean Moore's administration in the form of Paula Lingo, who is his chief legal advisor. So that, and it's interesting because the subject matter of that particular affidavit speaks to the trust of the prophet and how it's been set up. So it speaks to an advancement of the understanding that his children have gained with regards to the works and what he had done. Because remember, he said that it would take me 50 years to figure out what I've done. And if you wasn't careful in 50 years, you wouldn't know that I was here. So Islam, I want to give a hail of honors to this administration, that being the Sheikhs de La Ville, who is been doing a lot of wonderful works. You've been hearing her music on our show. I also like to give hail and honors to Sheikh D. Lewis Ill. You've also heard him in Today. He's the rapper. These Moors have been very instrumental in assisting within his administration and doing the research and making it all possible for these messages to be delivered to you all. So this is indeed a family affair. Islam. So at this time, I'm going to go ahead and get into the reading of this transcript. I know you all have been anticipating that. This is an example of the fight or the battle, you know, that we've been engaged in when we go into these court. And this is actually a transcript of a court hearing. So we're going to get into that, and then we're going to discuss it. We're going to discuss everything that we've kind of went into this evening. All right, that's fine. This is in the United States District Court, Northern District of Illinois, Eastern Division. And this is Morris Nash Republic Federal Government et al. Plaintiffs versus City of Chicago and Municipal Corporation defendants. This is docket number 10C1047. Interesting number, huh? Chicago, Illinois, and this is on September 21st, 2010 at 9 a.m. Transcript of proceedings before the Honorable Robert M. Dow Jr. presents for the plaintiff, Sheikh L. of Ill, Pro Se 5916 South Singer, Chicago, Illinois, 60619. Also present, Sheikh is Deanna Love Ill. For the defendants, Gail L. Wright, City of Chicago Department of Law, 30 North LaSalle Street, Suite 900, Chicago, Illinois, 60602. Court reporter, Lois A. LaCorte, 219 South Dearborn, Room 1918, Chicago, Illinois, 60604, 312-435-5558, Islam. So we're going into, okay, the clerks. 10C1047 Morris National versus City of Chicago. The court. Good morning, everybody. Mr. Loveill. Good morning, Your Honor. Ms. Wright. Good morning, Your Honor. Gail Wright for the defendant. Ms. Hill. Good morning, Your Honor. Sheikh is Deanna Hill for the plaintiffs. Mr. Loveill. Good morning, Your Honor. Sheikh Loveill on behalf of the plaintiffs. The court. Okay, very good. Well, good morning to everybody. I know the defendant has a responsive pleading due in like 10 days or something, the 29th, is that right? Ms. Wright, correct. The court. Okay, very good. And this is a motion for summary judgment, Ms. Hill. Yes, it is. The court. I'm going to hand you out here. This is our local rule for motions for summary judgment. It's local rule 56-1. I don't know whether you knew anything about local rule 56.1. And I don't know if Terry has given you in the past the sheet for the Pro Se Help Desk, too. Have you guys been to the Pro Se Help Desk before on the 20th floor? Mr. Loveill, yes, I have. The court. To file a motion for summary judgment, you got to comply with that rule there. And that rule means you have to put a separate memorandum or statement of what you claim to be the undisputed material facts that support your position. And then Ms. Wright would have to respond to that and put any other material in any other material facts. Another thing that often happens when you file a motion for summary judgment early in the case, particularly this early, sometimes the defendant will come in and say there's a federal rule of procedure 56F, which says that if a defendant doesn't think they have appropriate discovery to respond to the motion, they can ask for discovery on that. But I think that the first thing I need to do is have you comply with Local Rule 56.1, which is a separate piece of paper. You've got a memorandum here, and you've got a motion. But the thing you need, you also need is a Rule 56.1 statement, and that will explain to you what it is. And what that does is let the court know what you contend to be the undisputed material facts, because that's the standard I have to apply at summary judgment. And then that gives the defendant notice of what you think those facts are, and then they can take issue with those facts, raise their own, or they can hold on, Your Honor, it's premature. And those are the defendant's rights once they see the full packet, okay? So, Ms. Wright, do you have something, things to add to what I just said, because I did notice that that wasn't part of the motion? Ms. Wright, well, thank you for articulating those things, Your Honor. There are some other housekeeping matters that I want to bring to the court's attention. Obviously, the timelessness issue, and as Your Honor brought up, the fact that we haven't conducted any discovery and that the court has granted us leave to file our responsive pleading next week. There's also some preliminary matters that need to be brought to the court's attention with respect to the fact that the only person that appears to be properly before this court is Lionel Loveill, not Deanna Hill. Mr. Loveill is not an attorney licensed to practice law in the state of Illinois, to my knowledge, or before the Northern District of Illinois. The court. Right, okay. And so what the upshot of all that is, I'm looking down here, there was an original complaint that had multiple plaintiffs, but only one person has been granted leave to proceed in form of paupers. Ms. Wright, that is correct. Court. And because he is not a lawyer, he can only represent himself. Is that the point you're making? Ms. Wright, That's one point, yes, the court. Oh, and you will make that, I'm sure, in your response of pleading as well, Mr. Reich. I will, the court. But I think that it's true that individuals can only represent themselves. They can't represent another individual, and they also can't represent the situation. So if you don't have counsel, you can't proceed on behalf of a corporation, LLC, or anyone but a natural person, and that natural person being yourself. So at this point, I think I granted an informal popular status to Mr. Hill, Mr. Love Hill. Your Honor, if I may, the court, oh sure, Mr. Love Hill. I believe we have already cited within some parts of the lawsuit the Religious Corporation Act 1871-72, which makes allowances for officers of religious corporations to represent the corporation on behalf of the corporation. There is no stipulation within said act that states that an officer, which I am shaping, would be in need of a license, for lack of a better word. It's also my understanding that the powers, the United States Constitution never made a provision for any of the natural people to have a license or to have permission to do what is natural. And in fact, this is part of the whole issue, Your Honor, understanding of the status of the plaintiffs, understanding we don't need permission from anyone to do what is our God-given right by law of the universe. And that is an issue. And also, the court, I have an issue too, though, that the U.S. Supreme Court tells me that I can't. I can only have licensed attorneys in front of me except for people who want to represent themselves. That's the U.S. Supreme Court has told me. That's the U.S. Supreme Court has told me that. So I have to look at that case. Mr. Love Hill, Your Honor, United States Constitution, Article 6, I believe it's in Article 6. It speaks about the supreme law of the land being treaty law and the fact that we are Moors. And so this is the law that should predicate. And also, it's the same source that the Supreme Court received their authority from. So by the mere fact that this court especially opposing counsel and the defendants have not recognized that, and they haven't did things above board with regards to the supreme law of the land, which caused us to have certain interactions, the Moors and the Christians. So they haven't even acknowledged any of this. And what's being lost in all of this going back and forth with the laws and rules and what have you is the real issues that are, in fact, Ms. Hill, nationality. Mr. Love Hill, yes, nationality. And the fact that our lives have been affected by this situation that's occurred, it seems as if the defense is getting all of the consideration. They're being given the time to, do as they like. And here you have the city of Chicago, which, for all intents and purposes, is a really resourceful entity, and they have vast amounts of resources. And what they're doing is they have unjustly enriched themselves by depriving us. We never asked for this. We are in this position because we want justice. Beyond all the rules and everything, this is all being done for the sake of justice. And with all due respect, if it was reversed, we wouldn't be in this position right now, you see. So something needs to be done about this, Your Honor. Ms. Hill, I am an officer of the court, okay? I am an officer within the movement, and I can speak for myself, and I can defend myself as I have an understanding of the law. The court, right. But you have to be a plaintiff, too, in the case. And you have to get informal proper status. Mr. Love Hill, pardon me, Your Honor, just for the purpose of the complaint states that she is part of one of the incidents. In fact, it was brought against her. Ms. Reich, yes. Mr. Love Hill, another thing, what's being lost in all of this is that the defendants haven't put any fact, not an iota of fact, Ms. Hill, because, the court reporter, you can't both speak at one time. I have to make a record, and you're going to want to transcript some of this, transcript someday of this, and it won't be in the transcript, and you have to speak one at a time, please. Yes, ma'am. So what is also being lost in the fact that they haven't offered one iota of evidence or verified complaint or any affidavit? We have submitted a memorandum to support the motion that we put in, as I myself actually affected the the events affected me. I was involved in the events personally. I have firsthand knowledge, as does the Sheikahs, the court. Now, let me stop you for a second, Mr. Lavio. The counsel here, she has no facts. The court, right. Mr. Lavio, she was not a witness. She wasn't even there. Now I have got to, Mr. Lavio. She is just speaking hearsay and conjecture. She doesn't have any iota of what's going on. She doesn't even know what's going on. The court, I have got to stop you for a second, okay? Mr. Lovehill, yes, sir. The court, because the only way this is going to work for me, because I wasn't there either, obviously, counsel wasn't there. That's why we have discovery, because counsel doesn't have to defend on the basis of her personal knowledge. She has to represent her client, and her client gets to take discovery. And that's why I referred you guys to Judge Keyes for discovery, because I think he will be able to make the discovery process goes smoothly. The other problem we have here for counsel is because she wasn't there, she needs time to develop what? Talk to people who were there to develop facts so she can mount a defense on behalf of the defendant, Mr. Lovehill. She's had all summer, Your Honor, the court. She has a pleading due in 8 days, which I think is going to be the easier way for me to try to resolve this in a just way. So she is going to file a pleading, and in that pleading, she will respond to your complaint. And maybe at that point, she will either say, if it's a motion to dismiss, she will say, assuming all the facts that the plaintiffs have pled, they don't state a claim, or she will answer. In which case, she will say, we either admit or deny all the facts that you guys have alleged. Once we get that response of pleading, I will have a better sense of what the defendant's position is. And then if you're pleading is a motion to dismiss, you know what your pleading is going to be yet? Ms. Wright, we will be filing a motion. There is a question whether, based on the research that I have done and the allegations that are in the complaint of 3 separate incidents, 2 involving Mr. Lionel Lavelle and 1 involving Deanna Hill, it seems that there were 3 traffic stops, just for the court's understanding. The court, yes. Ms. Wright. And with respect to Mr. Lavelle, there were traffic citations issued. The cars, I believe that the cars were impounded. And only eventually he failed to appear in court, and a bond forfeiture was entered against him. Mr. Lavelle, objection, Your Honor, the court. Let me hear her finish, and then you can talk, okay? Ms. Wright, it seems that the same fate has happened also to Ms. Deanna Hill, that a bond forfeiture was entered. However, there are still criminal charges pending. Mr. Lovehill, objection, Your Honor, there is no criminal proceeding. The court, you've got to wait, though. I'm going to let her finish, and then you can have a chance to respond to whatever she's going to say here. Ms. Wright, this is something I brought to Judge Keyes' attention on the last court date because it came to my attention that there was an active warrant. Objection, Mr. Lovehill, objection. Ms. Wright, for Ms. Deanna Lovehill's arrest, and I wanted to make the court aware of that and make these 2 people aware of it so that they, Mr. Lovehill, objection, Your Honor, the court, we are not in a trial right now. Mr. Lovehill, I am saying she is saying something that we disagree with. We just can't sit back and let her say that. She is making reference to us as if we are 2 objects. And furthermore, the magistrate, Judge Keyes, he said that he stated to them that they would have ample time. She acts as if she didn't understand what the complaint was. He says, you have had ample time. It's very clear what's put forth in the complaint, so there's no misunderstanding. We didn't write it in Japanese. The court, okay. Now listen, this is going to have to be done in writing here because I can't follow back and forth here. There's a complaint, there's a criminal, whatever it is, I can't follow that. It's much easier for me to follow it in writing. She is going to file something in 8 days. Is that going to be a motion to dismiss or an answer or both? Ms. Wright, it will be a motion to dismiss only because we have belief that under Younger or Heck, we are not. This isn't the place to be just yet. The court, okay, that's fine because what I need to do so far, the plaintiffs have had the opportunity to put their version of facts in the complaint. Now you have had opportunity to investigate, and you have got to file a response of pleading in 8 days, which you will do. And then in that time, that will be the first time I will understand the city's position. And you guys will have an opportunity to see it in writing as well. When she files a motion, if you're going to file a motion to dismiss, we might as well just set a briefing schedule today. So if she's going to file a motion to dismiss your complaint, that's your opportunity to respond and say, you shouldn't dismiss my complaint because, however, you're going to respond to what her arguments are going to be. And I'll give you as much time as you think you need to do that. Mr. LaVille, Your Honor, also just like to state for the record that we would like to have access to all of the transcripts. The court, you want transcripts? Now, that's something you've got to do with the court reporter because I don't handle that. Mr. LaVille, I talked to Ms. LaCorte and she explained to me that the motion had to be brought formally before you. The court, okay, so you want free transcripts. Mr. LaVille, I said I need to have access to all the transcripts or proceedings for our research purposes. The court, so what you're telling me is it's a motion for free transcripts essentially. Mr. LaVille, yes, sir. The court, okay, I guess I can take that as an oral motion. Mr. LaVille, yes, sir. The court, very good. So I will take that motion under advisement. I just got to look at the standard. It's probably likely you will get that because you have been granted a formal proper status, okay? So let's set a briefing schedule on this motion, though you are going to get it to file a motion to dismiss on the 29th. Do you guys want 30 days to respond to that? Mr. LaVille, yes, that would be fine. The court, it's so much easier for me to follow in writing than you guys can take your time to do the research. So what's 30 days, Terry? The clerk, that will be October 29th. The court, October 29th. Okay, very good. Then, Ms. Reich, do you want 2 weeks to reply then? Ms. Reich, I would request 21 days. The court, 21 days. Okay, it's 30 going to be enough for you guys, Mr. LaVille? Yes, sir. The court, okay, very good. 21 for reply then. The clerk, November 19th. The court, okay, I have all those briefs. I will either give you guys a decision once I read the law and all that, or if I have to give you guys in for some sort of hearing, have you guys in for some sort of hearing, I'll let you know in a minute for it. Okay, just then on the oral motion for transcripts, I'll look into at that as quickly as I can because I know you will want them at least when you get the motion from the defendant, okay? Okay, anything else? Mr. Wright, one last thing. Just so the court is aware and so that they're aware, I'll be out of the office between September 30th and October 11th. The court, okay, very good. I suppose that might be more relevant to anything you might take up in front of Judge Keyes. Ms. Reich, I don't think the court, any discovery issues, I'm going to strike that status for October 27th here because you guys will still be in briefing. Ms. Reich, I think we have an October date before Judge Keyes as well. The court, but it's outside of the dates you're gone. Mr. LaVille, I would just like to state for the record, Your Honor, if the city of Chicago were fair and just, they would just stop the charade and just go ahead and do what's right because they are actually guilty of what has been done, which was the reason why they have come forward with anything yet. It has taken a whole season, in fact, for them to try to come together to put some defense together. But what's right is right, Your Honor, and righteousness and justice will win out. The court, that's what this motion, that's what the motion and briefs are going to be all about. So I appreciate everybody being here today in terms of your motion for summary judgment. What you need to do is if you want to proceed with that motion, you will need to file a Rule 56.1 statement that conforms to the rule that Terry gave you. Mr. LaVille, yes, sir. The court. And once you file that and put it in the docket sheet, what I may do is I guess the defendants will have to look at that and decide how they want to respond. And if you respond, we will either set a briefing schedule or you guys will say we need discovery. But it probably doesn't make sense to consider that until you see this 56.1 statement. That's right, probably not. The only concern I have is, as I told the court, that I will be out of the office for an extended period of time, and I am concerned that if they file a motion, I won't be here to stand before the court. The court, tell me those dates again. Mr. LaVille, September 30th to October 11th. The court, just let me take one more second here then to think about it. So if you guys, Ms. Reich, I just asked that if the motion is filed during that period, that it be suspended, stayed, or carried over until my return to court. Okay, so you guys will put in a 56.1 statement at some time. Mr. LaVille, yes, sir, definitely. We're going to do everything to move this forward as quickly as possible so we can get back to some form of normalcy in our lives, because the defendants are on some mad quest to rule our lives, and they want to regulate us. They want to relegate us to the status of Negro, Black, Colored, African American, 14th Amendment status. In fact, she made a reference to Deanna LaVille, which is a straw person entity. It doesn't even refer to the plaintiff in a proper person. So we just want to get past all this razzmatazz, because obviously they have shown that they don't want to do this by the book, and they don't want to do this according to justice. She brought a document for it in an effort to try to intimidate us, you know, talking about arrest warrants, criminal activity, when there has been no criminal activity whatsoever. The court, let me see if I can move this forward. Why don't I give you guys until October 8th to put it in the Rule 56.1 statement? How's that? Ms. Ill and Your Honor, this is the United States District Court for the Northern District of Illinois, and we are talking 2010, Your Honor. Your Honor, our people, the Moorish Americans, indigenous people here in this land, North America, and let's keep it clear and understand that this is the land of the Moors, without any doubt of contradiction, Your Honor. We deserve to be called by our names. Nationality, Your Honor, is the order of the day. Now, we're Moors. We are descendants of Moroccans. We are born here in America. I am not a Negro, Black, or colored, and I take it very offensively when I'm referred to by that name. And my name is in all caps when it is the city of Chicago that established schools here in North America to teach our children how to write their names, capital letter, and the rest of the Lord case. Your Honor, if we're going to get out of this great wrath that's coming to us here in North America, then we're going to have to allow the people here in this land to be referred to by their names and not by the misnomers, the Black, the colored, and the first Black president, the first Black this, Black history. Your Honor, it is time now. Justice must stand. And is the court for justice. And we're here to respect the laws that our ancestors helped to put divine constitution. We are only here in peace, Your Honor. What anyone else in this court would like to refer to, the Mexicans, the Japanese, the Chinese, the British, the Swedish, the Germans, everyone has a nationality, and we deserve that too, Your Honor. It is no more than right. She can say that I am not an attorney, but I have the right as an individual to defend myself, Your Honor. Where is the truth? I have children. I am a grandmother. And if I don't leave nothing else to my family on this earth, I want my children and grandchildren to understand that they do have a nationality. And you all in this court have to feel me. Do you understand? Thank you for allowing me to speak to the court. And I appreciate that. And what I need to do is make sure I understand that we are all on the same page here. Ms. Hill, absolutely, Your Honor. The court, so we have got this response pleading will be filed on 9/29. It's going to be a motion to dismiss. The plaintiffs will have until the 29th of October to respond. The defendants until the 11th of November to reply. The clerk, November 19th. Court, November 19th. Right, okay. And then the plaintiffs will file the Rule 56.1 by October 8th. And then, Ms. Wright, let me give you 2 weeks to tell me whether you're going to file a 56F motion or whether we want to set a briefing table, okay? So you get until 10/22, and all you need to file is one page saying we either want a briefing schedule or a motion for 56F, okay? Ms. Wright, thank you, Your Honor, the court. Then I have got an oral motion for free transcripts. Mr. LaVille, yes, sir. The court, okay, very good. Thanks very much, everybody. Take care. Mr. LaVille, you have a good day, Your Honor. Okay, Ms. Ian finally says, I certify that the above is true and correct transcript of proceedings had in the above matter. Signed by Lois A. LaCorte, the clerk of, clerk of that particular courthouse. So, looking at that transcript, we see that there was a lot of coddling of the defense, because as noted, we were plaintiffs in that action. This was roughly 5 years ago. So, Islam was. So, again, this transcript is proof some of the works that this administration has been engaged in, and the fact that it was done on behalf of the people. So, again, we have a whole lot more coming up. You got 3 more days. This is being hosted. You're hearing the show being hosted by the Morris Science Temple of America home office, presenting to you Morris Missionaries Online, where we are blessed by the best, and you make us better. This is done, being done in special honor of the Morris National Convention, which is held annually between October 15th and the 20th. And we have just been going over information. It's been a blast of information. So what I want to do in the last 10 minutes we have going now, I want to kind of go over some of this information and show and compare and contrast, you know, some of the things that we have to do and recognize. You know, a lot of us are bringing up issues and we like to criticize, you know, and bash, you know, the temple or the prophet, you know, and a lot of times this is being done in due to the fact that now we have a culture where ones like to go on social media and debate, you know, or, you know, try to, you know, work out the science. And the thing about it is there's nothing wrong with that. Then in all that all has its place. But we also have to be practical and being solution based and recognize that our people also need us, and they need us to demonstrate and show and prove how the instructions that's been left to us by the prophet can actually help us in our lives today and every day that we live. So we have to be practical in understanding that this is a divine and national movement. So we have to be able to relate to our people who are, in fact, wars and are angels unaware, and they don't know it. Some of us have been in a situation where we didn't know that we were wars, and we had to be taught the truth about who we are, where we come from. And a lot of times that can be hard to go back to that, you know, but we have to recall and remember that many of us have been in that situation, and we have to be accommodating, more accommodating to our people. But we also have to recognize that there's been a concerted effort, a situation that's been put into place to attempt to defeat the efforts that has been laid down by Allah's prophet. Because as you can see from the documentation that's been read, there were a lot of things going on during the time of the prophet, and the spirit of Allah had worked through him to make a move, whereas things had opened up for us as a people. And we had our own demonstration. We had our own township. We were demonstrating much like the Moors were in Black Wall Street or Rosewood or any of the townships, you know, that were amassed back during the day. You have a lot of nationalities that had their start and upbringing coming up over here and setting up in neighborhoods, you know, where they were all interacting with each other. But nationality truly is the order of the day, because every tongue has to confess its own. And we've seen that consistently with other nationalities. But there was nothing put in to stunt the growth of these other nationalities. Whereas when you look at events that occurred in the temple, there were many people that were involved in sabotaging things that were put in place by the prophet. Like we're going back to the monthly meetings that were held, the IDEP meetings, where an accounting of taxes were made, several taxes, not just per capita taxes. There were more than just that tax, you know. So, and then the corporation, the insurance being sold, where corporation stocks, the sale of corporation stocks being made, you know, and then establishing insurance where stock was sold. So we had a lot of things going on in the Morris Science Temple of America that you wouldn't necessarily hear about in your average meeting, your public meeting. But back then, there was, you know, some of these things were even more prominent. You know, you had the fact that you even had insurance and stock, meaning that this was a major business that was made on behalf of the members. And then, not to mention the Morris Manufacturing Corporation, which was responsible for producing the oils, teas, and compounds. So, you know, there was a lot of things going on. We was jamming, you understand? And COINTELPRO, there were moves to make to counter that. And the prophet prophesies as much. So that's part of the reason why he explained to us that we had to study. And so when you go down there and they, or you call the Cook County Recorder's office and you inquire into whether or not there's a trust and they tell you no, then what that constitutes is a slander of title. Because when you go into the computer and you put in the information, when you pull up the Cook County Recorder's website and you go through the instructions and you follow the prompts and you go into search and then you go, it takes you to the page where you can do the drop-down box from criteria, and then it does the drop-down for trust. So you actually go into the trust, and you type in 1010-5905, and then it pops up all this stuff. Well, that's telling you right there, that is a trust. But then when you go down there and they explain to you, well, you know, No. You're telling me one thing, but the actions of what your site is providing provides another. So that's part of one of the issues that's been going on with the Cook County Recorder Deeds, the issue with the slander of title. So this is part of the reason why the three lawsuits have to be put in. We're going to be going more in depth into explaining what that's all about, and we're going to be going more in depth into explaining what the affidavits, the different affidavits we read, because that has a large part as to why these things that have been done by the Cook County Recorder Deeds Office are being done. I want to say all praise are due to Allah, Lord, I'm the chair to sustain the rule of the world. I want to thank you all, give hell and honors to all of you for calling in to the show or listening to the show or wherever, if you're listening to a rebroadcast or whatever. Stay tuned. We have more coming up, more coming your way. Again, this has been broadcast from you, Morris Science Temple of America, home office, presenting Morris Missionaries Online, where we are blessed by the best and you make us better. Keep following us on our trust page, Morris Science Temple of America Trust on Facebook. We also have Morris Missionaries Online Facebook page. We're going to be bringing more videos to you, more information. And we're going to bring you up to speed. We have some materials that we're going to be producing, so you'll be able to have these transcripts and many of these documents that I'm reading to you in writing for your own personal library or archives. We're going to be putting those manuals out there. We're going to be dropping that knowledge like it's hot. So I want y'all to stay tuned, and I want to leave y'all with that never dying love as the Sister Sheik is in her honor. All praise is due to Allah. I love you, Moors. Y'all stay peaceful until tomorrow at 7 o'clock. Be here. Peace.